Hey, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast, the podcast that is dedicated towards bridging the divide between the police and the communities that they serve. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share these episodes. And remember, the episodes and the podcast can be supported via Cash App, PayPal, Venmo, or the Patreon page, Captain Hunter's Podcast on Patreon. Please make sure that you are following me on Twitter, CPTL Hunter, Instagram, CPTL Hunter, Captain Hunter's Podcast on Facebook. I can be contacted at CPTLHunter@gmail.com. So we want to jump right into it. It's our midweek encouragement session. So I hope that you all are learning something as well as being encouraged. So I want to talk just a little bit about today, just the imposter syndrome and how it relates to African-Americans, and just tie it all up in a nice little neat package as to the African-American experience. And as we close out African American or Black History Month, what is imposter syndrome, right? I talked before previous episodes, previous encouragement sessions about how we think about ourselves and how do we see ourselves. Well, one of the factors about this is the imposter syndrome. Now, truth be told, I heard another podcaster talking about this, and she does some type of millennial type of podcast. And she did really did a great job about it. And I reached out to her to be a guest on the podcast. However, I have not heard back from her yet, but so I thought I'd give it a shot because I thought that the information really needed to get out there. And it's something that 70% of the population, of all the population, deal with. No matter what your economic or academic achievements are, people have a hard time internalizing their own success. People still see themselves as unworthy to be in certain places and in certain spaces. So even Michelle Obama, as accomplished as the Obamas were, Michelle Obama admitted that she still at times has felt and dealt with imposter syndrome. She was speaking at the Elizabeth Garrett Anderson School. It's an all-girls school in North London. Pretty funny story. Michelle Obama recalled how the Queen had dismissed royal protocol as rubbish when the Obamas visited Windsor Castle, right? She said she was panicking about how to act around in front of the Queen, and the Queen is like, listen, just get in. Ask about how she felt to be seen as a symbol of hope. Mrs. Obama told students, I still have a little bit of imposter syndrome. It never goes away, that you're actually listening to me. It doesn't go away. That feeling that you shouldn't take me that seriously. What do I know? I share with you that with you because we all have doubts in our abilities, about our power and what power is. If I'm giving people hope, then that is a responsibility. So I have to make sure that I am accountable, right? So even Michelle Obama has stated this and stated some other things, if my memory is serving me correctly, stating that she at certain times in certain places, she still feels unworthy. And now, just to give a quick definition as to what it is. Now, it's not something that is in the DSM. That is the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Disorders. That's what it's called, the DSM. That is the almost the Bible that psychologists and sociologists and psychiatrists all consult when they're trying to determine what type of mental disorder that someone would have. So this imposter syndrome has not been recognized as something that is in the DSM. Although they do blame it on some of the effects that it can have, right? Anxiety, mostly anxiety and depression. So if you have imposter syndrome, then there's a good chance that you have anxiety and depression. It is also one of the reasons why certain people will be so lax when it comes to starting something new while they deal with procrastination. So imposter syndrome can be defined as a collection of feelings of inadequacy that persist despite evident success. Imposters suffer from chronic self-doubt and a sense of intellectual fraudulence that override any feelings of success or external proof of their competence. They seem unable to internalize their accomplishments, however successful they are in their field. High-achieving, highly successful people often suffer, so imposter syndrome doesn't equate with low self-esteem or lack of self-confidence, right? It doesn't always equate with that. In fact, some researchers have linked it with perfectionism, especially in women and among academics. So some of the thought processes that are going on when this is going on is they feel as if I must not fail. They put a huge amount of pressure on them, and therefore they feel as if one day they'll be found out that they really aren't as smart as people think that they are. they feel like they're fake, right? Despite their level of success, despite how many degrees that they have, they feel as if they should not be in the room with certain people. Previous episode, I talked about how many people who are in the military, particularly in boot camp, have to achieve, you know, levels of fitness and pass these obstacle courses and pass these tests. That will help to eliminate this feelings of imposterism, if that's even a word, that level of where they don't feel that they are worthy or good enough as the people besides them. Well, you have to have that self-talk again and say to yourself, well, if this person passes obstacle course, and I pass this obstacle course, then I'm just as good as this person. And the truth of the matter is, if 70% of the people of the population aren't dealing with imposter syndrome, then if there's a class of 100 people, right, then 70 persons in that class are dealing with imposter syndrome and feeling as if they aren't good enough either. Take that. Think about that. You have to recognize imposter feelings when they emerge. Awareness is the first step to change. So ensure that you track these thoughts, what they are, and when they emerge. Rewrite your mental programs. Instead of telling yourself they're going to find you out or that you don't deserve success, remind yourself that it's normal not to know everything and that you will find out more as you progress, right? These are some of the self hacks that you can do in order to defeat imposter syndrome. Talk about your feelings. There may be others who feel like imposters too. It's better to have an open dialogue rather than harbor negative thoughts alone. Whether you want to talk to your coworkers about that, I don't know, but certainly talk to family and friends, people that you trust, and let them know how you feel. And those persons, if they're truly in your corner, will let you know that you really are worthy. You really did achieve these things. You really can do these things. Be kind to yourself. Remember that you're entitled to make small mistakes occasionally and forgive yourself. Don't forget to reward yourself for getting the big things right. I got to be honest, this is one of the biggest things that I have. I'm going to be really honest and open and say that sometimes I struggle with perfectionism, right? When I listen to former previous episodes of my podcast, and I still go over them from time to time trying to get better. I listen to them and I'm like, why did I say that? Why did I do this? Sometimes when I write things, I read the blogs over and it's like, man, how come I didn't catch this mistake? How come I did not catch that mistake? But being able to forgive yourself and learn along the way is part of the process. And I have to learn to forgive myself and not be so hard on myself, but and also strive for perfection without being a perfectionist, if that makes sense. You want to seek support. You want to visualize your success. See yourself doing well. See yourself graduating. See yourself getting those high honors. See yourself getting that promotion. So there was an article in the Huffington Post in which the author discussed not only what imposter syndrome is, but the fact if you're African American, you're 10% more likely to suffer from this. And this is why it's so important, and I stress it's so important that we need to see African Americans in positions of prominence, whether it's on the TV screen, whether it's in politics, whether it's in academia, whether it's police officers, whether it's corrections officers, whether it's firefighters. We need to see other persons doing these jobs to let you know that these things are possible. And that all persons are the same and that you can have the same opportunities and the same level of intelligence as other persons, maybe even more intelligence. And so when we don't have these people in these positions, when you walk into a room, and this has happened to many African Americans who have achieved some high level of success, when they walk into a room where there's other equally successful people and you are the only Black person in the room, then you feel as if you don't belong there somehow. That's why it's extremely important that we, that African Americans deal with these feelings of imposter syndrome, coordinate with other persons who are just as successful as you are, as they are, and collaborate with them, right? This is why they do it. Not because, this is one of the reasons why they do it. Not because they're trying to be antisocial or just trying to keep it a Black thing, and I put that up in quotations, but because there's always this feeling as if we don't belong there for some reason. Not always, but many times there's the feelings as if we don't belong there. And some people are actually pushed and bettered by this situation where they are standing in a situation where they feeling as if they have made it somehow. I can remember a story that my uncle told me back in the 1960s. He was working for the company that he was working for. Now, this is 60s. I think it was the late 60s. And he's working for a boat company. And so what happened is he had to go, they sent him on a business trip, and he had to give a presentation for the company. Now, here he is in the 1960s, a black guy going to on a business trip to a hotel, stayed in the hotel, and then had to go and give a talk before all these other persons, right? And obviously the vast majority of them are white. But he gave himself a pep talk, and he did really well. And after the presentation, a lot of people came up to him, congratulated him on how well he did. But imagine the feelings of inadequacy and self-doubt that could have riddled his mind back in the 1960s, but he was able to persevere and push through. And that's the type of stories that I need to hear. He's actually told the story to my daughter as well. She needs to hear that type of story. And so we all need to hear these stories about how we have made it in the face of pressure. My daughter is obviously a girl, and she needs to hear that story. She's a black female, and she needs to hear these stories of triumph. So we all need to hear them. So let me just read a little bit from this Huffington Post article by this author. People of color, like myself, are particularly vulnerable to this debilitating sensation. That's because for us, imposter syndrome isn't just an imaginary voice in our head. We hear it loud and clear when we receive almost daily messages from society that we truly don't belong. This feeling of otherness is a common occurrence in the workplace where, too often, we may be the only person of color present. It also transcends that. It happens in stores when we are followed around by security while shopping. It's echoed by the leader of our country and the people who support him. It occurs every time we turn on the TV, open a book, or watch a movie and don't see anyone who looks like us doing anything besides being a sidekick. The world subliminally and outrightly tells us that we don't belong, that we aren't good enough. That's why the movie Black Panther was so important, because it showed us what could be. That's why the movie Hidden Figures was so important. Neil deGrasse Tyson tells a story, the black astrophysicist, tells a story that when he was going to school, other persons were telling him that we need more sociologists, right, to study this kind of thing about racism and about our place in society and things like that. And Neil deGrasse Tyson pushed back and said, no, we need more astrophysicists and people in science to help us to understand the importance of black persons being seen in society. And I totally agree with that. I think it's incredibly important that we see more persons like Neil deGrasse Tyson's. Black kids need to see Neil deGrasse Tyson's. Black kids need to see personalities like Malcolm Nance, who worked as an NSA officer and who has written books about national security. I think that this type of thing is more important than being that typical person who comes on when there's a riot on TV and you turn on CNN and this well-educated professor who's got a history of teaching and talking about economics or whatever is only brought in to talk about the black problems or whatever. So we need to understand that we need to see diversity in academia, diversity on the TV, diversity in movies, and not just the sidekicks, but we need to be the number one superhero, Black Panther, Green Lantern, you know, and that's why it's so, so important. So I've given some hacks, some lessons about how we defeat these feelings of insecurity. Some of them, once again, are to recognize imposter feelings when they emerge, write them down when they come, and understand what's triggering them. Rewrite your mental programs. Remind yourself that it's normal not to know everything, and you will find out more as you progress. Talk about your feelings, particularly with trusted individuals. If you do make a mistake, take that opportunity to learn from it. Don't beat yourself up. Be forgiving of yourself. Be kind to yourself. Seek support and visualize yourself being successful. Remember that if you got your college degree, you got the same college degree that everyone else in the room has stood for. That last story that I'll tell about is I can remember being, a fairly high ranking official in the police department and sitting around, going around the room, looking at all the other persons who had. And I think this is actually before I actually got my college degree, and going around a room, visualizing that this person had a college degree, this person went to private school, this person went to private school, this person went to private school, that person went here, this person grew up in this community, that person went there. And I can remember thinking to myself, you know, I'm just a black kid who grew up in the North End, and at this time I did not have my college degree, and all these persons had either college degrees or they went to private institutions or they grew up in more affluent homes and towns and were all in the same room. And that was a way for me to visualize myself and know that I deserved to be in this room because we had all passed the same test. And in fact, I had beaten some of them on the testing procedure. Not all of them, but I had beaten some of them. And of course, this is before I went back to school and finished up my education. So once I finished up my education, I then continued to go around the room when we sat in big meeting rooms and said, okay, these people have all these degrees. These people, I have my degree as well now. These people have gone to private school and this, that, and the other. And it was a way of me dealing with the fact that I knew that I had belonged there, right? Sometimes we have to do what we have to do in order to mentally hack our brain and say, I deserve this promotion. I deserve this position. I deserve to be in this place and in this space. So that's it. I just want to talk about imposter syndrome and how you can help defeat it. So as we finish African American History Month, Black History Month, I wanted to ask you where you are at with your journey into Black history. If you are not Black and you're listening to this podcast, have you learned anything at all this month that you think that you could retain or regurgitate in 6 months, right? In the month of June, would you be able to tell us something about Black history, right? And not just about Malcolm X or Martin Luther King, but could you tell us something about Black history? And that's really the purpose and the point of this, is for other persons to get to know Black history. And so I would encourage persons to join any type of Facebook group that deals with Black history. I'm a part of a couple, and they constantly are putting out, you know, snippets in history, you know, on this date happened, and not just in February, right? But on this date in May, and this date in December, and this date in November. This happened. And I think that is really important to give. There was an article in a local newspaper stating that a nonprofit is going to begin teaching Black and Latino history classes. I know a bill was shot down for mandatory Black and Latino classes in North Carolina, but they only shot it down. They, being the legislature, shot down the law for teaching mandatory Black and Latino classes in high school classes because they wanted to make it mandatory. And I actually agree with that. I think that it should be more of a voluntary type of basis. And I'm hoping and assuming that many persons would. But so I'm actually going to be interviewing someone from the local community here who is teaching Black and Latino students a little bit about their history. So I think that that's really, really important. And of course, I think that all persons should go to it, not just Black and Latino kids, but white kids and Asian kids as well. And we should all learn about the history of all persons who are, we call, neighbors and fellow citizens of these United States. In line with that, I hope that you did learn something this month. I did not do as much as I wanted to do with African-American history, but as we close out this month, I wanted to read something that I hope that will resonate with you all, and that is the history of actual Black History Month. This is a fairly short article, so just listen to this. The Library of Congress, National Archives and Records Administration, the National Endowment for Humanities, National Gallery of Art, National Park Service, Smithsonian Institute, and the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum join in paying tribute to generations of African Americans who struggled with adversity to achieve full citizenship in American society. As a Harvard-trained historian, Carter G. Woodson, and I highly recommend people read his book, The Miseducation of the Negro, by Carter G. Woodson. Please go read that book. Like W.E.B. Du Bois before him, believed that truth could not be denied and that reason would prevail over prejudice. His hopes to raise awareness of African-American contributions to civilization was realized when he and the organization he founded, the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, conceived and announced Negro History Week in 1925. The event was first celebrated during a week in February in 1926 that encompassed the birthdays of both Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. The response was overwhelming. Black history clubs sprang up, teachers demanded materials to instruct their pupils, and progressive whites, not simply white scholars and philanthropists, stepped forward to endorse the effort. By the time of Woodson's death in 1950, Negro History Week had become a central part of African-American life, and substantial progress had been made in bringing more Americans to appreciate the celebration. At mid-century, mayors of cities nationwide issued proclamations noting Negro History Week. The Black Awakening of the 1960s dramatically expanded the consciousness of African Americans about the importance of Black history, and the Civil Rights Movement focused Americans of all color on the subject of the contributions of African Americans to our history and culture. The celebration was expanded to a month in 1976, the nation's bicentennial. President Gerald R. Ford urged Americans to seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans. I want to read that again. President Ford urged Americans, not just Black Americans, but urged Americans to seize the opportunity to honor too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every area of endeavor throughout our history. That year, 50 years after the first celebration, the association held the first African American History Month. By this time, the entire nation had come to recognize the importance of Black history and the drama of the American story. Since then, each American president has issued African-American History Month proclamations. Now the Association for the Study of African-American Life and History continues to promote the study of Black history all year. All right, so this is just a little excerpt I read from you, AfricanAmericanHistoryMonth.gov. Far too often, Black History Month stops at the end of February. So I'm asking you, if you're African American, dive into your history. I mentioned before that I really think that it ought to be taught in churches. Every Sunday, we would get up and we would go learn about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We would go about learn about the 12 tribes of Israel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, how they rebuilt the wall after the destruction of the temple, and Moses, and all these other characters from the Bible. And African Americans could not tell you about their own history. And at least that was my own experience, is where I grew up at. Now I know that more progressive Afrocentric cities and cultures, particularly in New York and maybe in Chicago, places like that, they did actually talk about African-American history more in depth than we did. But I think that African-American history should not only be available and taught and emphasized in inner cities, in larger cities like Detroit or New York or Chicago, but it also ought to be in the smaller cities as where I live. In African-American history, even if you're one Black person and living in a one-horse town in Idaho, you ought to know who and what your people are and in the sacrifices that were made. Just as a quick quiz, as before we go, who remembers the four young girls from before? Can you think about them? It's just last week, right? You still remember who Anne Frank is, though, right? Well, just in case you're wondering, it was Addie Mae Collins, Cynthia Wesley, Carol Robertson, Carol Denise McNair, right? Three of them were 14, and Carol Denise McNair was 11. It should never be erased from our memory. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, still got a lot of great episodes coming up. Please make sure that you rate, subscribe, and share. And remember, the podcast can be supported through PayPal, Cash App, Venmo. Patreon page is Captain Hunter's Podcast. Follow me on Captain Hunter's Podcast on Facebook, CPTL Hunter on Twitter, CPTL Hunter on Instagram. Until next time, much love and peace.